Good evening and greetings in Jesus' precious name. It's been a blessing to be here and worship with the brothers and sisters here at Providence. Appreciated those devotional thoughts on the armor, and it applies very much with the subject tonight on our thought life and thinking about the heart and so on, and the protection that we need as we live in an evil, wicked world. Now, a lot of times we think that because of the wickedness that's around us, it makes it difficult for us. But as we go through the message, you're going to discover that our biggest problem is what's inside, with our own heart and our own desires. And when we get a hold of that principle, we realize that we can live faithful in a wicked world. We can live faithful in a time where there's wickedness abroad, where they're throwing stuff at us. But we can be faithful, and we can have a thought life and hearts that are right with God. So the title tonight is, As He Thinketh in His Heart, So Is He. And it's hard to know. There's a lot that could be said on this subject. I'm going to stick pretty close to the scripture, because there's a lot of deceptive teaching on this subject. And we're not going to go into a lot of that. That's another whole subject that you could go on and probably take more than one evening to talk about it. But there's a lot of programs, a lot of positive thinkers out there that will intertwine scripture with their message. And by if you listen to it, it sounds good. It sounds like this is something that we need. But in the end, it's to exalt oneself. Usually in the end, it's to somehow make yourself a better person, more productive, more efficient, and get ahead. And it's about me. And if you look at scripture, scripture teaches a total different concept of getting ahead in life. And that is dying to self and crucifying self and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming productive in that way. And it brings glory to God. There's two different perspectives. One is to bring glory to oneself, have men's praise, and another one is to bring glory to God. But they both can look effective and successful. I'm not going to tell you tonight that there's men of the world that are not successful in their desires and in their heart's desires, because they are. But in the end, God does not receive the glory, is not exalted. So that's what we want to look at, the importance of what's in our heart. Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7 is where this I want to read. It says, Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. And this scripture here has to do with deception. Somebody that is trying to draw you in for a relationship, and they use their dainties, they use their winning personality to win you, but they actually don't care about you. They really don't. They're doing it for a personal gain, to lift themselves up. And that's what he's talking about here. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's a lot of different hearts. I just came across some papers here or something I pulled off a website about the different hearts in the Bible. And they have here like 50 kinds of hearts. And I looked some of them up, and I'm not going to take the time to look at it, but the Bible is really, really speaks a lot about the heart. And the heart is the motivation in our lives. It talks about a broken heart, a contrite heart, a willing heart, a discouraged heart. Talks about an obstinate heart, a proud heart, a wicked heart, a double heart, and tender heart. And a soft heart and pure heart. Now, it may not always use the word heart as such, but as you look at those scriptures, you discover that's what the Bible's talking about, a pure heart, a froward and perverse heart, a haughty heart, and a bitter heart, an honest and good heart, a foolish and darkened heart. Can be also a evil heart and deceitful heart. I just marked some of them, a hard heart. A diabolical heart, which has to do with being a devilish heart, and a compassion heart, and it's a lot of different hearts that we could look at that would give us some insight into this subject. Now, Jesus said, every tree is known by his own fruit. And I want us to be honest tonight, and we really need to do fruit inspection, because we are who we are. We are what we are. Sometimes we don't want to accept that. Sometimes we want to say, well, I didn't mean it this way. Well, maybe you didn't, and I can accept that. But our life pattern is who we are. We produce the kind of fruit of what's in our heart. And Scripture brings that out. Luke 6:44, every tree is known by its fruit. Now, we like to somehow attach good fruit to our tree, so to speak. We can't do that. I mean, a fruit tree produces the kind of fruit that the tree is. An apple tree produces apples. Yes, I could go and attach some peaches to that apple tree, but those peaches wouldn't last very long. They would be destroyed. There's no life. But in our human life, we tend to want to do that. There's times that we know that we're producing bad fruit, but yet we try and pretend that we're good people. And Jeremiah brings that out. I want to bring those verses where Jeremiah says our hearts are just got bad hearts tonight. I have to tell you that. Now I trust that we have converted hearts, and we'll get to that later. But without conversion, we just have a problem. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I mean, that's just our hearts. We have deceitfulness in our hearts from birth. And it's above all things. It's desperately wicked. And in verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And God is the one that searches the heart. And he knows the hearts. And he rewards us according to the fruit that we produce. He says, I try the hearts. And I bring pressure in upon somebody's heart. But he says, at the end, I will try the reins even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit. So in the end, we will be rewarded by the kind of fruit that we produce. And we need to come to grips with that very fact. The heart is deceitful, tries to cover bad fruit, tries to attach good fruit, and we try and pretend that we are different than what we really are. But the bottom line is, God knows who we are. Nothing is hid from God. And he tests us and tries us and wants to bring that to light. Let's go to Matthew 23. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture, because I think it's very important that we have a Bible base is on for what we believe and pertain to our thought life and our hearts and so on. Matthew 23, verse 25. He talks about the scribes and Pharisees. He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Again, this temptation, this evil heart, desires to somehow clean up the outside, but inside they were bitter, they were resentful, they were full of extortion and excess. And it says, thou blind Pharisees, clean first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto ye, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are likened unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisies and iniquity. And we could read on. There's a lot more Jesus talked about these people. But I bring this out tonight because we are tempted with speaking the right kind of language. And we as a people, the Mennonites, we are the conservative people that we have been brought up in the Christian setting. We know the Word of God from little on up. We were took our parents took us to Sunday school, Buddhist and Christian day schools. We know the language. We can say the right things. We can attach this good fruit. They were smooth speakers. They were religious speakers. But their deeds were evil. But God knows it. You can't hide it. Mark chapter 7. Go to verse 18. And he saith unto them, Mark 7, verse 18, and he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he saith, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And I had said earlier that we get confused, that we think that as the world waxes worse and worse, that somehow it's harder and harder for us to be Christians. I believe that God gives us grace and gives us the Holy Spirit, and He gives us more than what we need to be able to be faithful. And our biggest problem is what's within us. The lust that's within us, the evil thoughts, the evil desires. And we're attracted to those things. And what we do with that attraction will determine the kind of fruit that we bear. Jesus made that clear. Our problem is from within, not from without. Integrity is a must. And I there's not enough of guidelines and not enough of restrictions that one person that we can make to protect ourselves or others. The bottom line comes down to its integrity. Now, I am for guidelines. I am for shields and protections and in the church decrees and all those kinds of things. I mean, you take like a machinery has a belt on or a roller chain or something, and they put a shield over and they protect it. But you know what? I can stick my hand in there and get it all chewed up. And that's what people do. From an evil sense, and the corruption that's in the world, you can put protection, you can put all kinds of passwords and all kinds of good things. But when you want to pursue those things, you can get it. You can find it and you can get it. And so tonight, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In our family life, we endeavor to cultivate against unselfishness, unselfish thoughts. We teach our children to share. We protect them from sensual material and prideful thoughts, and we try and screen our reading material, and we try and cultivate friendships, quality friendships, and we care about the atmosphere at schools and churches and so on, and we discipline and we help them take responsibility, and there's just a lot of things that we do for our families and our children. But that is all done to help them pave the way for them to come to Christ. That alone is not salvation for our children. That is to protect them and have an environment of such that they desire to come to Jesus Christ and be converted. Because we know when a child is filled with the corruptions of the world, it makes it so much harder for them to come to conversion. So I am for protection. I am for the shields. I am for teaching and so on. It's just that in itself, we still need that conversion experience. So I believe our thought processes are a result of the type of hearts we have. Tonight, if you're a selfish heart, you have a proud heart, you will pursue a lifestyle that supports your heart. That's the bottom line. If you're proud tonight, if you're selfish, if you have a lust for money and for prestige, and that's in your heart, that's the lifestyle that you will pursue, and that's the kind of fruit that we will produce. Go to Luke chapter 6. I just drew a little drawing this afternoon that just illustrates, and I just want you to just look at that occasionally. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he says, actually I'm going to read 43. He says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So here we have a good man, and the treasure of his heart produces good things, good fruit. And you have an evil man, and the evil treasure of his heart, the things that he holds dear to his heart, has evil things and bad fruit. And we have to be honest with that in order to get the help that we need tonight. If you need help, we all need help. But the bottom line is, when I have bad fruit, it's because I have an evil heart. Evil desires. And we're going to get to a little further. You may think, well, what are you going to do? Because you've been converted, you're a Christian, you love the Lord, but you still struggle with these issues. I understand that. We do. But there's things that we need to do. We talked about it in devotions, putting on the whole armor of God. You know, if men would pursue righteousness as much as they pursue evil, men would be righteous. So tonight, our heart is a fountainhead of our consciousness, our character, and our conduct. We are what we are inside. So I want to appeal to you tonight. What is our fruit? What type of fruit are we producing? Really, we need to be honest with it. What is it producing in our family life, in our personal life, in our relationships? In our whole manner of life, what kind of fruit are we producing? You don't need to turn to this scripture, but I want to read this. 1 Timothy 5. He brings out the fact in verse 24. He says, "Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. Some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." He brings out the fact that some men's sins are open beforehand, and some go and some follow them to the judgment. That is the difference tonight. Is when we're honest with our needs, is when our sins go before the judgment. Beforehand. We can be redeemed. Listen, we're human. And we're not perfect. And there's times that we're going to have evil thoughts. There was a couple weeks ago, I was driving down the road, and for some reason my thoughts went in the channel that it shouldn't have. And I'm like, "Darvin, you don't need to think about this." And I had to redirect my thoughts. It was not thoughts that I needed to think about or that I should have been thinking about. We have to take authority over those types of things, but we need to have conversion in order to be able to do that. So I want to go into that. Matthew 18 verse 3 talks about being converted, turning around, change of course. Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So conversion is very important. You need a new heart. Jeremiah says our hearts are deceitful, they're wicked. And we need that new heart, that new conversion. You need that conversion, that turning around. Genesis 6 verse 5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That was in Genesis. That was when, before the flood. And how did men get there? They fed it. And they fed it. And it was evil continually. Their thoughts of his hearts, of their hearts. Now, what happens at conversion is the Holy Spirit comes and dwells with us. And that's so precious. John 16 brings that out. I don't know. Sometimes I feel we don't maybe preach enough about the work of the Holy Spirit. But John 16, it says verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Now, Jesus was saying here, if I would stay here in this earth, I couldn't send the Holy Spirit. And I get this, I get from Jesus' teaching here that it's superior to have the Holy Spirit here than to have him here walking in this earth. Sometimes we think that, well, it'd really be nice if we could talk to Jesus, if he could just visit Jonestown or visit Grantville, and we could talk to him, and we could ask him these big questions that we have, and he could answer us, and he would do all these wonderful things for us. But he's saying here that I want to send you this Comforter. I want to send you the Holy Spirit, because this Holy Spirit is going to reprove, and it's going to do a mighty work in your hearts and lives. He says, I need to leave so I can do this, so I can send the Holy Spirit. I want to read on. He says, "And I will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they bleed not on me of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. In a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Now here we, and the fact that the Holy Spirit is in the world judging and speaking and revealing truth to us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our thoughts. Thoughts like anger. Thoughts of pride. Thoughts of selfishness. You know, how many times do you have a selfish thought and you want to pad yourself, or you want to somehow gather things around yourself and you protect yourself, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, no, you just need to lay this thing down. Just lay down your pride. Just give it up. Share with others. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That doesn't happen in the heart of a person that's not converted. And if they do it, they do it to be recognized. If they do share and give, they want their name on a plaque and they want to be lifted up. God don't receive the glory. It's about them. That's two different walks of life. Two different walks of life. But you know, this all starts in the heart. And so you're thinking about thoughts, you know, thoughts that we meditate on. What do we feed on? What do we think about? You've got to ask ourselves those questions. Our attitudes produce thought patterns. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The psalmist is saying, I want my mouth, my words, and the meditation of my heart. I want the thoughts that I have and the things I speak, I want them to be acceptable in God's sight. You go to Proverbs chapter 3, some other scripture. I'd like you to turn there. Proverbs chapter 3. I want to read verses 1 through 5. Proverbs 3, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table in thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Some beautiful scriptures. He talks about forgetting not my law. He says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Those active commandments. We need to be active in our Christian life. We need to be producing good fruit. And he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them. You know, there's a responsibility we have. Conversion does not take care of our responsibility to cultivate healthy thinking patterns. It'd be nice if God would just do everything for us. Be nice tonight if we could say, you know, you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're converted, it fixes everything and you have quality thoughts. No, we need to read good stuff. We need to study. We need to write things down. We need to memorize the Word of God and know the Word of God and practice the Word of God. That's how it becomes part of our life. You know, if you want to be a good mechanic, you need a more, you can't just read the manuals. You need to have hands-on. You need to take stuff apart. You need to put it back together. You could read the manual. They make good manuals. You can sit there and you can read it and understand it all. But that does not make you a good mechanic. You need to be active in doing it. And that's how it is in Christian life. You can read the Word. You can study it. You can memorize it. But you need to get out there and be active and produce fruit. And be alive. And be an active Christian. And that's what he's talking about here. And he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thy own wisdom, thine own understanding, and so on. Some beautiful verses. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created, in righteousness and true holiness. This thing of being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, how is that done? I think we'd all agree that we're responsible for our thoughts. Are we not? You may say, well, is that true? I mean, sometimes I can't help it. Well, I know that there's times thoughts come to us that we didn't welcome. But yet, when we take responsibility for our thought life, it's the only way I've found that we can actually purify it and grow. If I always want to blame my bad thought life on somebody else or some outward pressure, outward things, I can't come to grips with dealing with my selfish nature or my lustful desires or so on. But when I take responsibility, when we take responsibility for our thoughts and say, you know what, I'm responsible for what I think about and what I feed on, that's how we can be purified. That's how we can grow. That's how we can prosper. So I think that we're responsible for our thoughts in the most part. I know that there's pressures that we face, and there's things that we're in the wickedness, we're around in the world. There's wickedness, and they're bold with their wickedness, and there's times that we struggle with dealing with that. I want you to think about this. If tonight, if you think about money a lot, you'll probably be greedy and selfish. If your heart is set on material things, you're gonna think about greedy and selfishness and protecting your own assets and really concerned that nobody takes advantage of you. Now, replace those desires of thinking about money and riches and so on. Replace that with gratefulness. Now, what do you think those thoughts will be? If you're a grateful person tonight, in your heart you're grateful and you have grateful thoughts, I think you'll be thinking about sharing with other people. I think you'll think about contentment. I think you'll be a father and mother trying to teach your children to be content with the things that they have. Two different roads, two different patterns of thought patterns. Another one, if your thought processes are sensual, you will be a person that pursues sensuality. And you'll be a person that looks for those types of things to feed that sensual, those sensual desires. But if you're a person that thinks about holiness and moral purity, you'll have a pure heart, and you'll have reserve and respect and integrity of heart and so on in those areas of life, the two different walks of life. If you're a person that you think a lot about yourself and who you are and lifting yourself up and want to desire the praise of men, you'll be selfish in your lifestyle. You'll do things to draw a praise of men, and you'll say things to draw a praise of men. Will be people that want recognition. People that think a lot about themselves. If you're a person tonight, you think a lot about others, you'll be a person that becomes a caring and giving person. Again, two different walks of life. Caring and giving about other people and their needs. Being there to help people. Being there to lift them up and be an encouragement. A selfish person that thinks about themselves don't do that unless somehow they get recognition. Another thought process is if you think about deceiving others. You know, if you know tonight that your heart is not right, but you somehow, you want to protect yourself, so you'll... What those type of people will spend a lot of time of figuring ways of deceiving people. And they get really good at it. They're professional. And they'll do it for a length of time that they'll be putting on good fruit, attaching it to themselves, and you think, wow, those people are good people. But they're professional deceiving. And they become very hypocritical. Tonight, if you're a person that thinks about honesty and truthfulness, you'll be an honest person. You'll acknowledge when you're wrong. We'll say, you know what, I was wrong. I was wrong in that statement that I said. I was wrong in expressing anger. I got upset and I expressed some anger. Maybe I was wrong in selfishness. And you could, maybe you're struggling with lustful thoughts and you need to be honest with your father and mother about those things. Or maybe husband and wife need to talk about this. You're honest and you're truthful. And those are the people that grow in their Christian life. They're faithful. And they're honest people. God says, I will accept those people into the kingdom of heaven. Number five, maybe you're a person that likes the praise of men. And I mentioned that a little earlier. And you become heady and high-minded. Those people are hard, difficult to work with. You can hardly help them see their needs because they're high-minded and think a lot of themselves. And you replace that with praising God and having a life that you just want to bring glory to God. You just want to humbly walk with Him. You just want to serve Him, and you want Him to get the praise and the glory. You don't want recognition. And what you become is a humble, genuine servant of God. But those thought processes that we have, as we journey through life and as we do life, comes from our hearts. Do we have a proud heart tonight, or do we have a humble heart? Do we have a deceitful heart, or do we have an honest heart? It comes from within. And our thought processes come from those heart motivations, those heart desires, and those longings that are in our hearts. We need to feed on good things. Ask you tonight, what are you reading? What are the searches that you do on the internet? Just be honest with that. What are the search words that you put in? Sure, maybe it'll block it. But why do you put the words in? Why are we searching it? Be honest with those motivations. It reveals who we really are, some of our struggles. I think we could all say that there's times that we're tempted with that. And I'm thankful for that we have a church that we have those filters and those blocks on, but we still need to be honest with the motivations of our hearts. God wants us to be honest with that and purify us. What are our values and our goals for life? What are our dreams? What do we think about? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs or Philippians 4, verse 8, very familiar scripture. Talks about what we think about. Fill your minds with good things. If I can find Philippians. Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I just paraphrased that a little bit. It says, I'm just going to read it how I paraphrase it. It says, fill your minds with those things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report, if there be any strength, if there be any praise, dwell on these things. We have choices tonight, what we dwell on. We can choose to dwell on those things that are true and honest. We can fill our minds with those things, or we can fill our minds with corruption. Jeremiah 4 verse 14 says, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? So tonight, if you're converted, praise the Lord, but you still got a work to do. If you're unconverted, you need to be converted, because you will not win this battle. You will have destructive thought patterns. You will not win the battle. You need to have a new heart, because our hearts are wicked. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, and charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And he talks about that, you know, we need to flee these things, but at the same time, we need to call upon the Lord, and we need to have that connection with him. Now, something about temptation. Temptation captures our attention. And what gets our attention arouses our desires. And our desires are activated, and we begin to behave accordingly. In the end, we have bad fruit. And that James talks about that. So you have temptation. Right there, you have a decision of what you're going to do with it. If you're going to cut it off, or if you're going to feed it. But that temptation that comes, they're everywhere. The temptations are everywhere. The world flaunts them and displays. And those temptations come to us, and it arouses inner desires. And we need to be honest with those desires. And that's where we need to crucify those desires and not activate them. If you allow them to activate, we end up bearing fruit that yields to sin and death. And James talks about that. So, sometimes temptation is difficult. You have an evil thought come to you, and you're not sure what to do with it. And you battle that thought, and you battle that thought, and the more you battle it, the more it becomes engraved in your thought patterns. And the Bible talks about fleeing. And I just want to encourage you in thought patterns, and that is sometimes the most effective, the best way to have victory is change what you're doing, or think about something else, or call somebody. I had a brother that was walking with in his spiritual journey, and occasionally he would call me He says, "Darwin," he says, "I'm facing a struggle. I'm facing a temptation and a struggle. He said, I need to pray." And he'd be driving down the road. And I said, "Well, let's pray." He said, "Just a minute." He said, "I'm going to pull off." And I got to pull off. And he would literally pull off the road, and I would pray over the phone with him. And he would thank me and say, and then later on he said, "It really helped me. It really worked." We need to take drastic choices. There's times that we just need to stay, pick up the phone, or go to a mentor, and ask them for help. Sometimes you have to change your friends. Sometimes you need to maybe hand your electronic device over to somebody and say, I can't handle this. Those are choices that we need to make, and it's up to us how serious we are about our relationship with God and our thought processes and so on. Fill your mind with God's Word. Read good books. Serve others for God's glory. All those aspects will help us in our thoughts and cultivating healthy thinking patterns. You know, when somebody said when our minds are filled with things like Philippians 4 verse 8, like I just read, Satan can't get in. We fill our minds with these things. There's no room for his suggestions and his ideas. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Just a lot of scripture that teaches us that our thoughts are a product of our hearts. Out of a good man, the good treasure of his heart, good things, good thoughts, healthy fruit. Now, I want to talk just a little bit here in closing. In Romans 1, talks about evil people. And I share this because sometimes we fall into this temptation that we say, well, we would never live like this. If you read Romans 1, he talks about evil things. And I'll just break in at verse 28. He says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful." You just read all those things and it's awful. Awful things. But verse 32, he says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now, brothers and sisters, the reason I bring this verse out is because we can be people that would not actively do this kind of thing, but we can play this stuff in our minds. We can actually be guilty of the very sins that are described here in our minds. Starting evil imaginations. And especially if you were a person that fed on corruption of the world, the evil, the movie industry, the video clips, and all the corruption that's available. If you fed on that stuff, maybe you were not out there and did those things, but he's saying, if you feed on those things, that you're of the same category. If you take glory in those things, if you enjoy that kind of stuff, whether you're in the city of Lebanon or Harrisburg actually practicing this kind of sin, you're in the same category. And you can be sitting on these benches, you can be sitting in your homes doing the same thing in your brain, your mind, and we're guilty of those things, and we're worthy of death, is what we are. God forbid, but I know that can be a temptation. We do not go into those kinds of things. We do not feed on those kinds of things. It's a shame for us even to know what goes on in wickedness in the world. And we don't need to pursue that. We don't need to know. We need to know righteousness. That's what we need to know. We need to know how to live a sanctified life, a holy life, a life that brings glory to God. And so we can have our names written in the book of life. In closing, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and sharp, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the what? The thoughts and intents of the heart. We must be people of God's word. We live in wicked times. We live in deception. And I know that we can pick up the dirt of the world at times. We're out there and we're with people, and we need to have time in God's word. We need to pray often. We need to fellowship with the saints. We need to value our church services. We need to go to prayer meeting. We need all we can get to be faithful in this last generation where wickedness is abounding. And we need God's word because it's a discerner of our thoughts and intents of our hearts. So may God bless you as we come to grips with the fact that we are who we are. Our hearts, our fruits reveal our hearts. And when we're honest with that, God can purify us and we can grow in our Christian lives. He's still working on me. I'm sure he's still working on you. But we need to be honest with who we are and our needs and our weaknesses. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.